B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Did we kill Kenny Rogers, by the way?
Yep.
Oh, we did.
Shaughnessy did.
Did he?
Just put it on him.
Well, no, we mentioned...
killed George Michael.
We mentioned Kenny Rogers on Friday.
Yeah, we did.
And then, now look. Why does that keep happening on this show? We mention someone, and then they die.
I blame Lauf. I mean, Lauf, you buy a jersey for Lauf's kid, and that guy ends up blowing out a knee or something, or... being put on
I don't
IR.
Remember us mentioning Kenny Rogers.
Yeah, we did.
We did. We were talking about the song.
Which song?
About We Are the World.
Yeah, but we talked about so many people. So many of them died.
I'm Huey Lewis today. I'm looking out, dude. Yeah.
So every Lionel name Richie, that we mentioned, when we were doing it, We Are the World, had...
It felt like Kenny Rogers was prominently named.
Steve Perry. Is Steve Perry dead?
Nope. We did not mention Steve Perry.
Yeah, we did.
Now yes, we did.
Yeah, we did.
I don't think you did.
We absolutely mentioned Steve Perry, Sheila E., Huey Lewis.
About Prince.
I think Huey Lewis and Steve Perry should be on the lookout today.
How about Lionel Richie?
Yeah.
But we didn't mention
Quincy
Lionel Richie
Jones.
By name. We didn't mention him by name.
Oh, jeez. Quincy's getting up there.
Yeah, he is. He just had a birthday.
Willie Nelson, would you like...
You watch his documentary?
No. Is it good?
It was okay. It was worth watching.
Who's that?
Sort of long.
Quincy Jones.
Oh, you're talking about...
Can we listen to...
2 hours and 4 minutes.
Listen to Lady?
I just like that. It was a little long.
Yeah, how about...
This is not like his best song.
I mean, how about Lucille or The Gambler or something?
What the one car say to the other car when the wheel fell off?
Yeah. Picked a fine time to leave me loose wheel.
Yep.
617-779-0985. Tom is in Newton today. Hello, Tom.
Yeah, hey guys. So I know I just read this ESPN story here. You know, people have been talking about. You know, there's obviously been a lot of discussion about, you know, the principles here. You know, Kraft, Brady, Belichick. But the one guy I haven't heard a ton about has been Josh McDaniels. Oh. You know, and you think about. Like that Tom versus Time documentary, they're, you know, like FaceTiming each other, just how close Brady and McDaniels were. But then you've also heard about how, you know, McDaniels was apparently, you know, it on Lamar Jackson, you know, wants to go with a mobile quarterback. And, you know, obviously they're facing a really daunting task this year, not only rebuilding the offense, but, you know, the schedule, the turnover and everything. So I'm just kind of curious where McDaniels is at in this whole thing and how, you know, what his role might be in trying to turn things around. What do you guys think?
Well, we mentioned it earlier. Like, there were some reports like there could be potential friction between the two. And I have never heard one thing between McDaniels or Brady that would lead to there being some sort of divide. I've heard of no friction whatsoever.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Why do you keep saying that?
I just think there are rumors.
Just based on, okay. I mean, there's rumors all the time about everything.
I think there could have been a little bit. That the relationship had changed a little bit.
Go back to that. Go back to the trade deadline too. You know, when prior to them getting Sanu, like who was pushing who to get Sanu? You know, was it Brady? Was it McDaniels? You know, there's reports that Brady handpicked Sanu. I know they were both excited about it. I'm just trying to figure out the point where there would be any friction to last year because Josh doesn't pick the players, right? Bill picks the players. Bill and Nick put the roster together. Josh is told to go do this with that. I mean, you had no tight ends. You had no fullback. You had a tailback that is used to running off a lead block that you didn't have anymore, and Sony Michel. So, like, there are so many parts of the offense that were sort of hogtied. And I don't know what more Josh could have done from a creativity standpoint. You know, find a way to get N'Keal Harry the ball
but
after he misses half the year. and hasn't been in meeting. I mean,
what's his role going forward? He's here as the offensive coordinator until he finds a head coaching gig. That's how I look at it, which may never happen. He may never get it. He may never get the job he's looking for or wants.
It's true.
So he's here until further notice. What do you do while you're here? You do the job. So he's doing the job.
Yeah,
I don't know. I have no idea what his future is going to hold. But if he gets a good coaching offer to be head coach, he's gone.
I find it hard to believe that he and Brady had real issues.
Yeah, I think that would be probably pretty strong.
I've been in meetings where Marino with Kippy Brown used to get into. They used to have like throwdown verbal.
You got to remember though, like Brady and Bill had been together 20 years. Brady and McDaniels have been together a long time too.
Yeah, they've been in and out too. It's like he was here, then he left, then he came back, and
Linda's in Rhode Island. Hi, Linda.
How are you today?
Hey, Linda. What's up?
Can you?
I'm gonna put you on hold because we can't really hear you. So we'll see if we can correct that. Debbie's in the car. Debbie.
Hey, do you guys think it's possible that Gronk could come out of retirement and go to Tampa?
No, because you own his rights. You would have to trade his rights. I mean, what is that worth now, too? And does it look I'm past the point where it looks like he doesn't want to play football anymore.
I'm with you.
He was on SmackDown the other night, right?
I'm with you. He's not playing football anymore. He's done playing football. But let's play the game. He wants to come back and play for Tampa. Would Bill do it?
I'd say no.
1,000% he would trade his ass to Tampa. No problem. Yeah. Guy who's 2 years removed from playing. Tight end in his 30s. With back problems?
And you get something for it, actually.
I don't know where your head's at. I know you didn't like playing here at the end. Yeah, I'll trade you. What are they offering?
That's a good point. He already had him traded once, almost.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
He would absolutely do it.
And that's when the kid could play.
But I think there's no shot in playing, and he's done.
Yeah.
He was done a year ago. I'm like, no, he's done playing football.
I just didn't believe it because they never addressed the position. It always felt to me like there was some backdoor deal where he's coming back. Because how do you roll with what you rolled with?
Joe's in Pittsfield. Hey, Joe.
Yeah, guys. Look, I have a thing with Belichick here going on. I think he's got to come out and be a little more honest about this thing with Brady. I think he owes it to the guy. The guy always took some low pay and everything. I know there always comes a time when things come to an end, but he's kind of ridiculous acting like a snob about the thing.
Well, I mean, did you see the NFL Network, top 100 thing where he and Tom are sitting there on set and how complimentary they are of each other? Did you see a statement last week? But I mean, it comes to a point where Bill will not be emotionally attached to the player. And that's the most impressive thing that he can do. Because there's so many coaches in this league to get attached to those superstars.
I understand that.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to make a point here of, behind closed doors. I think as a general manager, he has to do a better job of getting players in there to help everybody out.
Wasn't it just 3 years ago or 2 years ago everybody's saying he lost the locker room with the Malcolm Butler thing? How'd they do post Malcolm Butler? And even going back to that, is that a sticking point for Brady too? Like you took another ring away. The audio of Brady sitting there and he's like, I'm sitting there on the sideline thinking, what defense can we be in that Malcolm's not on the field? As you're sitting there and you're hanging 505 yards. You never punted in that game, did you? The offense never punted. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of back and forth on it. Do we want to know more from Bill? Yeah. It's human nature, right?
We're not going to get it. I'm not holding my breath for that.
And that's the best thing about Belichick is he'll put that statement out last week, and he will always defer to that and never expand upon it.
I hope he does address the quarterback position, though, now that they don't have Brady, and actually expresses that they've got a young quarterback and there could be some learning curves there.
It's competition like all of our team has competition at every position.
I hope he acts like a human boy with human emotions for 5 minutes. Linda, again in Rhode Island. Linda, try this again.
I'm hoping you can hear me.
You keep cutting in and out. It's
not like you're in a drive-thru.
I don't know what's going on.
It's probably my crappy phone. I'm calling from work.
Well, you're better right now. Okay, let's give it a go.
All right, we got you now.
Okay. I just, you all did such a great job with bringing awareness to how Jacobs wasn't stepping up for his employees, his work is at the Garden. With the talk about crashing up the board and now the Tampa Bay, you know, page, I want people to be aware that Mr. Kraft is not doing anything for his stadium workers. People work there all year, not just during football season. And they've really gotten nothing, not even communication whatsoever. And I just think he's focusing on things that Brady's gone. He's not coming back. And it really is unfortunate that that's what he's, you know, devoting time to, rather than trying to think of a way to assist in a little bit to his workers, which when things are going good, aren't that well compensated at all.
Okay. If I catch the gist there, it's the same complaint about Jacobs of a week ago, now about the Patriots.
I don't know if that's true.
I don't know.
I have not heard that.
But what goes on there? Like, it's Revs games, right? Revs games would be going on?
Correct.
Yep.
That's a stadium event?
Yeah.
You would have pre-booked like weddings, conferences, you know, rented space in those clubs.
I don't know who's going in. I mean, there's people go in there obviously every day.
What do you do? It's prom season.
You know, just, you know, stadium workers. You know, there's stuff to do there every single day. I don't know if those people are working. Obviously, the Revs games aren't happening. I don't know what other events were scheduled there. Monster trucks generally aren't until June. Sure, there's other stuff going on there. I don't know who's working and who's not.
They'll do four proms at once. They'll split both clubs up. And that's...
They're right. They do proms there?
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
No kidding.
Our high school out there is there.
Do you know what? I just think it's not something we know much about.
I don't
know anything about it. Yeah. It's the first I've ever heard.
If it were September, I'd be saying they've got games for the month. Like, you know, what are those people doing? But I think it's sort of early in the process for a team that plays its games and starting in August.
I think we're with the schedule and everything. And I remember being down there. If you're doing TV or radio, like, there's so many people going in and out of that place. Like, nobody knows what to do right now. And I'm sure that they're not going to ignore it. I mean, there's a lot of people going in and out of that building. And I know that a lot of people are working from home right now.
617-779-0985. Do want to mention Marcus Smart. We briefly touched on it on Friday. I want to go back to that. Marcus Smart being the first Boston athlete with COVID-19. We'll do that next.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
What's up, everyone? So I just found out I tested positive for the coronavirus. I'm okay. I feel fine. I don't feel any of the symptoms. But I can't stress enough of practicing social distancing and really, you know, keeping yourself away from a large group of people and just really washing your hands and help protect yourself and help protect others by protecting yourself. Thank you.
That's Marcus Smart with his video last week after being diagnosed with COVID-19 and being asymptomatic. It furthers the haves and the have-nots.
It sure
does. When it comes to testing in this country currently about COVID-19. If you're rich, you're famous, you're an athlete, one of those things, you're guaranteed a test. Oh, you absolutely would have been able to get one 2 weeks ago. No problem.
How many people being interviewed over the weekend like, yeah, I have no symptoms. Like, well, how the hell did you get tested? People are telling you that if you don't have symptoms, don't go and get and require a test or ask for a test. Stay home.
Now, it appears that testing has become more available in recent days, right? I mean, that's what we're hearing. The testing's now more available. So those who are sick are actually able to get tested, we believe. But at the time he was getting tested last week, you were hearing from people on the front lines at local hospitals in this town that they were sending away sick people
because they
may or may not have needed hospitalization, and some people didn't have the, you know, ability to get tested right away. Like, geez. Which is why I said last week to the NBA and to any other league, you should probably stop putting out the press releases and videos when you have players that have no symptoms and are not sick that are telling you about it. Oh, I went. I just happened to get a test. Oh, yeah.
You think it's a great PA, when you've got people, public service announcement?
Yeah, when you've got people that are down in New Rochelle waiting in line in their cars for 4 hours, you know, trying to get in and get a test and having, like, pre-scheduled it. And if they didn't get on the schedule, they're waiting days to be able to drive through down in New York while the NBA's like, all of our people got tested. It's a bad look. It was a bad look and will continue to be a bad look. But I got a lot of pissy feedback on this last week. So let me tell you something else for those of you who have suggested this is really good that Marcus Smart is out there telling the young people to take care of themselves. It's the opposite. When he says, I have no symptoms, and you say, yeah, I'm young like Marcus Smart, I'll be fine just like him. It reinforces that thing that a lot of young people are having a hard time grasping.
Oh, yeah, that spring break.
This is dangerous. Because does Marcus Smart look sick? No, he's doing great. I'll just stay home. I'll be good.
Right.
I do have it, though. It reinforces that idea that, nah, this is no big deal.
Did you see the aerial videos over the weekend from California where the beer pong's taking place and kids on the beach and the basketball games and the pickup and there's a line waiting to get in to play basketball? Like, because they just like it's non-existent out
because
there.
God forbid something be not about you.
Get drunk before everything closes.
Right. Right. Her and all her dumbass friends down on South Beach watch Marcus Smart's video and see, I'm young just like him.
But she got
I'll
juice.
Be fine. Yeah. I got to get into the bar and get another beer before they close.
Well, you got to get
like,
that juice.
Sorry, I'm not buying
the,
that.
She's got the juice. She got the
juice. And you can hit her up anytime once you get the juice.
Right.
Juice.
Oh, we may have a treat for you later.
Oh, we haven't mentioned this yet.
Oh, we have not mentioned it yet.
Oh, my God.
We're going to do it next hour in about 90 minutes.
It is a treat for our listeners.
12:50. We are going to get to the submitted raps from Derek in Foxborough.
I did not get hoodwinked. It is an actual email that came in to my email, my work email. At 6:13 p.m. yesterday. And it is two gifts from God.
Gifts from Derek.
Well, yeah.
Derek is, we're not saying he's
rap
God.
God.
He's a God.
I didn't check my email last night, my work email, till about 9:30, and I texted Hardy. I got this can't be real, right? Because I got fooled by Tom and Worcester before. And this is Derek. And we're going to play it. And it's going to be, it's going to be good.
Am I crazy on this Marcus Smart thing?
No, it frustrates me too. Like, it's like, hey, I'm good. You know, Sean Payton, even. Like, no symptoms. Asymptomatic, right? I'm good.
It does prove that there are a lot of people out there that have no symptoms that are carrying it.
Which scares the hell out of you.
Right. That part, it scares. But I don't think it's going to, what a great message. And I'm not blaming the player for this either. Like, you know, what's he supposed to do? Well, I'll tell people I have it. I don't believe they had released his name. They let him tape the video. And his message is on point.
Yeah.
Right. What he's telling people to do is the right thing.
No, we're not. Right.
I don't want to make it sound like I'm criticizing him. He's saying the right things. He's not doing anything wrong. I just think that when you announce it the way that the league has, these individual teams have made these major announcements.
Yeah.
I don't think they're having the intended impact that they want them to have. I think the testing thing is a sore subject for a lot of medical professionals right now.
Yeah, you really.
I don't think that they're happy about how this has played out.
I think they still haven't decided, and I'm sure there's a lot of infighting among the people making these decisions. How many people should be tested? You look at different models and the way it's been handled in different countries, and some countries have tested everybody.
South Korea, for
everybody,
example.
Everybody gets tested, and if you have any contact, you get shut down, you get quarantined. Other places are not doing as much. There's other methods and methodology and models where they say, yeah, you quarantine for a couple of months and then you spring everybody loose for a month and you gauge the infection rate based on how things have calmed down based on where they were 2 months ago. And mixed messages from the people giving these speeches saying, if you don't have any symptoms, you don't need to get tested. Have you been tested? Yes.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
And I'm not picking on the president or anyone else because it changes every 20 minutes. You don't need a test. Have you been tested? No. I'll probably get tested. Don't get tested if you don't have symptoms.
Do you have symptoms?
I got tested.
No.
But I got tested.
It's just like the crazy the crazy events of like the Rand Paul stuff. Like they went to a gym. Like so all of a sudden there's a Senate gym that's actually open. People making laws in our country. They're going to a gym to share barbells, to touch weights. Read the stories on the stuff that, you know, where this stuff can linger in gyms. I mean, that's the first place I would think, okay, there's germs.
Didn't you just put together a pretty nifty
house.
Home gym?
In my house.
How many people use it?
Five? Three, if that.
Yeah, but they're all living together anyway. If one gets it, they're all getting it.
We're all in the same old. I'm not bringing neighbors in and saying.
Could I use it?
You cannot.
Because I'm dying to work out. I haven't been in the
you
gym
can't.
In almost 2 days.
And Tom can't either.
All the sacrifices I've had to make, that's the one that's killing me.
Is that Rand Paul story true?
Yeah, that he went to the gym in the morning. Yeah.
I thought there was some debate.
I missed all the Rand Paul stuff.
So he contracted it, and according to one report, he was at the GOP luncheon yesterday and told, and another senator said, yeah, I saw him in the gym this morning, which means not only was Rand Paul in the gym, but this other senator was in there using the gym too.
Right.
And you're like, wait, you guys are still using the gym?
De Blasio was going to the Y, escorted with police detailed as early as what, Thursday or the beginning of last week when his stuff was hidden?
Not smart. Not what you're looking for right now.
So you're saying that shower we have downstairs here in that locker room? We should
I would not use that.
I wouldn't use that on
the
a good day.
The one Moscatel sits in, they have steam.
Oh, you wouldn't be Moscatel and use it as your daily shower? You wouldn't be that guy?
Does he use it often?
Every day.
Every day, dude.
He beats the traffic in here and showers
at work.
Yeah, brings his clothes into work.
He doesn't come in anymore. Use the bathroom and I open the door and he's sitting in there just getting a steam. In all his glory. Yeah. I'm like, what are you doing?
By the way,
the shower at the old station wasn't bad. At our old building.
Oh.
This one's not bad.
On the second floor, I used to use that one every now and again.
What?
I probably used it like half a dozen times.
What are you,
in
a
sociopath?
In the 9 years
we were there.
What, for what?
Like 9 years we were there?
For what?
I think I probably used it like half a dozen
times.
Why
would you ever need to shower there?
I can remember one of the times was that I had no hot water for like 3 days in my house.
Oh, okay. All right.
The heating system had went and was in the process
of getting
fixed.
See, if that
fixed.
Were me, I would just shower at the gym.
I don't know. And
why do you say sociopath? That was actually a nice bathroom.
Because you're taking a shower at work.
I never knew where that bathroom was.
You're not a
firefighter. I never walked in that bathroom. I never knew where that shower was on that second floor, right? Was it on the second floor?
Yeah.
At the old place?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
You ever go into some gym and you walk in?
But even as someone who had used it, right?
Yeah, and you used it. So something tells me you used it at a time when you had hot water in your house.
Yeah, probably two or three times.
For why?
I can't remember the circumstances.
I would love to know the circumstances.
I cannot recall the circumstances.
Because I cannot think of a circumstance where that would be necessary for me. I would go without a shower. You ever go a day without a shower on the weekend?
I've done that before.
You make it to like Saturday night. You're going to bed.
I can tell you,
one
of the other times.
I didn't even shower today.
Early in the station's history, when I was still young and stupid and had no kids, and I was hungover as all hell, and came into work, puked my brains out, and then took a shower there before doing Felger Mass.
That's awesome.
2010-ish.
Oh, so you took it. Not only did you take a shower, you took one on a weekday at 1 o'clock in the afternown.
Yeah, pretty much.
Where'd you blow chucks?
Yeah, because I was hungover.
Where'd you blow chucks, outside or inside?
Cold shower, baby.
Oh. It wasn't a locker room. It was just a bathroom. And
large bathroom.
It was a normal size work bathroom. And instead of a toilet, there was a shower in one of the stalls.
No, there was one toilet and a shower in there. And it was bigger than most bathrooms you'd encounter.
So weird.
It's not weird.
It's really
it's
weird.
Not weird at all.
It's very.
Here's what I liked about it.
Let's
it was
take a
very
poll.
Clean.
Let's.
It was very clean.
Let.
I like that about that place.
Okay. Here's what I will do, and we can set the over under. I will do a quick survey of everyone that I can reach. I'll put a time on it up until noontime, right? Of everyone who's worked,
whether or not they
worked
ever
in that
used
building,
it?
If they ever used that shower,
I did not.
I'll put the. How many people are you going to contact?
As many as I can.
What's
it?
You want to set an over under?
Let's say we have to do a bare minimum of 10 people I need to contact.
I'd set the over-under at 4.
You think Oedipus ever used it?
I pound the under.
You know who used it more than I did? Maz.
Shut up.
Well, okay.
What a weirdo.
One time you sent Rucker to go buy him a towel like Target. He said, can you get a street team or get me some towels?
But you know what I believe
So there's three people I know who used it then. You.
Yeah.
Maz.
Yeah, it was clean.
And
nice.
Adolfo.
Oh, God.
Adolfo showered there all the time, I thought.
He did?
Yeah.
Felger used it?
Felger did too. Perfect. There's another one.
When?
See, I think you...
How do you know this, Tom?
You don't even know. You're in the freaking minority, Hardy.
I have my sources.
Who?
Billy Lanny.
That's disgusting.
All right, because he used to ride his bicycle into work.
We're already at 4. We're already at 4.
Okay.
Well, didn't he have to do TV right after?
I'm wrong.
Yeah. So and he had that blue blazer that he would hang in John Riley's
studio. Well, you need to look good. Brad Pitt showers once a week, and he's the best-looking guy on the planet.
George Clooney is.
That's it. 1-2 punch. You get hey.
Right. I watch Ocean's 11 and 12.
Headlines.
I don't do 12.
I can't turn it.
I do 11 and 13.
12 is bad.
It is.
That's a Europe one, right?
Headlines with Hardy here. We'll talk to Billy Jaffe coming up at 11:50.
They should call it Ocean's European Vacation.
I like that.
That's what it is.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times.
Yep. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
In a bar in Toledo, across from the depot. On a bar stool, she took off her ring. I thought I'd get closer, so I walked on over. I sat down and asked her name.
617-779-0985. Joe's in the car. What's up, Joe? Oh, that's excellent.
I'm hungry for laughter. Here ever after,
you know, Kenny Rogers was like about 1,500 yards from my house, and he sang.
That's an odd way of saying 1,500 yards.
I'm trying to think, like in football field terms. Some guy, this rich guy, paid him. This is back in Pennsylvania, back when I was in high school. This guy owned 84 lumber, and he had this mansion on top of this house on top of this hill by my house, and it's the middle of like this cow pasture,
4,500 feet away.
Yeah. And he flew Kenny Rogers in on a helicopter to sing to his wife for her birthday at a party. And Kenny Rogers, I remember the helicopter coming in.
That's a hell of a gift.
To sing Lady to her. Yeah. Fly Kenny freaking Rogers in. This is back in the day when Kenny Rogers was big. So you go back to what, mid-80s? Yeah.
Can we make a couple of Kenny Rogers song requests for the next couple?
Yeah. Can I ask for one? You got one too?
I have two.
All right.
I would like Coward of the County.
Yep.
I had a 45 of that when I was a kid. Love that one.
Mm-hmm. Lady.
And I would also like something from First Edition, which was recommended to me by Key West Cuervo. As Kenny Rogers used to be the front singer. Just dropped in to see what condition my condition is in.
Ooh.
That's old school. That's OG KR.
Yeah. What about She Believes in Me?
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
Nice. But I'd like Coward of the County and Just Dropped In. Please, T-Bone.
Lanny screen grabbed Love Will, what is it? Love Will Turn You Around? Yeah. Over the weekend? It's a good one, too. Haven't heard that in a while.
Lanny
screen grabbed that one.
I don't know if this is breaking news worthy.
What do you got?
I didn't even have to reach out to people. Many people are texting me to tell me about the shower in the old building.
And?
I am 100% on the wrong side of this.
Thank you.
Michael,
okay.
Michael Hurley, I used that shower multiple times. I still think he's weird.
Well, he didn't use it on his maternity leave, did he?
You're such a jerk.
Jim Louth never showered in the old building, but used it in the new building.
Now, that blows my mind a little bit. That one seems odd.
Why would Louth shower here?
Cattles use the shower in the old building.
That's gross.
And then the only person who's siding with me on this, which makes me say I'm on the wrong side of it, I never used that shower, not once, with the pukey face emoji, Mark Capello, who is about the weirdest guy I know. So
when has he ever been in a building long enough to where he would have to shower?
But he's very clean. Capello's
very clean.
Do you know why
I believe that shower was kept in immaculate condition at the old building? Because Mingles would use it from time to time. And that guy never settled for something that wasn't clean or wasn't tidy or didn't look good.
Said top three employee in the building.
Oh, my God. Yep. Something was out of place, it would be fixed.
I used to go in his office every day just to mess around with things. All his tools, all his kiss pictures. I was just enamored the fact that his wife Betsy would send him in with a plate for lunch, and it would be an actual real plate covered with saran wrap.
Oh, yeah.
And he would stick it in the microwave, and every day at noon, for him being a union guy, he would sit there and he would have his damn lunch, and that's his time off. I'm like, this is great. Look at this individual.
Love that guy.
Boy, he's one of a kind. Yep. How many flannels do you think he had?
Oh, many.
Probably 13 different colored ones, just all hung up like Mr. Rogers.
Should we try Joe in the car again?
Sure.
Joe?
Hey, sorry about that, guys.
No problem.
So I heard you guys talking about the fact that Brian Hoyer basically bringing him in means that Stidham is the guy. So my question is, do you think that they're just going to load up on receivers and stuff that they need this draft and then maybe go after a quarterback next draft? If, say, for example, Stidham doesn't work out and Hoyer turns out to be a dud, I just want to know what you guys think about that. So I'm going to hang up and let you guys debate.
No, in fact, I think this is the draft they go and get another quarterback because it's perfect. You have Hoyer here as the veteran guy to be the backup, and then you've got another shot. You take another shot at quarterback because I think Hoyer is a short-term thing, 1 year.
I don't think you're reaching for a guy. You know, and we'll get into this more once we get to the draft. You start to see some of the draft boards. Guys go up and down the board in that first round. If somebody falls, like late second, late third, I could see them saying, boy, we had a higher grade on this guy. We're going to take a flyer on him. Like a Jalen Hurts, that type of guy.
I think they could do it all over again. We're going to talk to Billy Jaffe coming up next. He will join us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Don't miss it. He's on the way.
Nice.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Billy Jaffe is about to join us here on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. We don't have him yet. I mean, really? Is he not picking up?
Calling him back in his office. Oh. Landline.
Oh. Landline. Nice.
Yeah, he doesn't have a great-sounding cell phone. I would rather have him on a landline anyway.
Yeah, I would have had him on the landline like 4 minutes ago.
It's last time you used your landline?
Last time I used it? Yeah. Last night.
Okay.
Twice yesterday, my mother.
I can't remember.
There's two people who call my house on the landline, in addition to like robocalls. My mother and one of Blondie's friends. That's it. I don't know why. Mm. My mother.
Old school.
You. Oh, she loves the nice landline. Lady. Thank you.
I like a landline too. It's nice to have.
There's another Kenny Rogers song we have to listen to. Apparently, Prince wrote a song for Kenny Rogers at some point, and Kenny Rogers recorded it. And we're going to have to listen to that. I've never heard it before. But Prince was a Kenny Rogers fan and vice versa. So we should listen to that at some point.
Well, two talented musicians, why wouldn't they be fans of each other?
Kenny Rogers always made Minneapolis a stop on his tour early on when, not everybody was coming through Minneapolis. And Prince liked that, and he liked him. And Kenny Rogers liked Prince, and he recorded a Prince song that Prince wrote under the name Joey Coco.
Huh. You know what I like? You know what I like about The Gambler? That. That little thing.
Oh, yeah. Made alone. Water drop sound. Yeah. Well, woodblocks. Probably woodblocks. Right? Did you play woodblocks in music class when you were a kid?
Sure.
I did not.
Yeah. Had the stick with the ball on it. You hit the.
They probably all had synthesizers by the time Beatle was in elementary school. We had blocks. We had sticks we had to bang together.
We didn't really have much of anything in the form of instruments.
Yeah, you didn't have music class?
Did you even have a shop class?
You would like go to music class and sing. And if you were playing an instrument, you had to like buy that on your own. Do that separately. Okay, at 11:54 now, we have Billy Jaffe on the line on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hi, Billy.
Morning. How you guys doing?
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Billy.
Billy.
Hi, guys.
I got asked a question last night, and I'm curious to hear your answer. Do you believe the NHL season will resume?
No, I don't.
So it's over.
I don't. My take is that it's over. If only from, what the hell do I know? I don't have any more information than any of us.
Sure.
Do,
but, yeah, you do.
Just the feeling of, the unknown, it doesn't feel like we're walking out of this in the next 2 or 3 weeks. And then all of a sudden we ramp up right. In 4 weeks and we say, oh, wait, all of a sudden in 6 weeks we can have, forget 18,000 people. Like, let's talk 180 people between two teams, management, referees, everything. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but I just don't see it happening, Beetle. So, no, I don't see it coming. I just don't see the risk reward out there.
And it's almost like gun to the head. Sorry, Beetle, but like it's almost going to get to the point where you don't even want to play as a player. If that makes any sense, because you're so distracted, you're so emotionally invested in everything else, your family and that, like, gun to your head, get to a rink and skate and get your legs ready.
Well, you're right, because right now I won't speak for you guys. I will admit to my struggles of adjusting to what has become the new norm. Right. And, I was great for a few days and I'm struggling a bit now. And the thing is humans will change to what the new norm is. We won't like it, but we'll change to what it is. And then all of a sudden you're asking guys, and again, not just the athletes, but everybody, but in particular the athletes, to go from that, what becomes then their new norm, to saying within 3 or 4 weeks, we need you to play beast mode hockey. I just don't know if I see it. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard because you can only speak to what you know today, and things have changed rapidly over the last couple of weeks. And you can only speak to the way you feel right now, and I would agree with you on all of this. It feels right now like we will not see another NHL game. We will not see another NBA game. I think that those seasons are not going to resume at any point. I think it's over.
And remember this for hockey, too. Playing in a building in mid-July is a lot different than playing in mid-April. And people say, well, they do it in mid-June. You're right, but that's only two buildings that they're working on. They bring in oftentimes special dehumidification systems to at least have a chance for a semblance of decent ice. Now you're talking 31 buildings in July into August. I hope I am so wrong. I hope that you can play this clip and we can, when I say laugh, you know what I mean? It's that morbid, that kind of dark humor laugh at it. Or it's all wrong, but I just don't see that. And we think that they can just play hockey anywhere, and they try to. But that's on short-term individual basis, not the entire league.
So how much does that suck for the Bruins?
Oh, God, the timing.
Given their season, given the way they were playing.
The way they're built.
The way they're putting it together.
It sucks everybody, man. It sucks. It sucks for all involved. It sucks for, management who put the team together, coaches who are really one of the best staffs in the league. The players are just so great. It is a close team. I said it on the air, not cliche or not hyperbole. Like, this is a legitimate close team that cared about or cares about each other. And you don't always get that at the end, at the pro level, because it's such a business. But it does suck, obviously. I mean, who the hell knows if they would win it all. But, man, they're a good team. They're a really good team.
Billy, have you kept in touch with anybody from the Bruins, players, coaches, behind-the-scenes people?
A little bit. I texted with one player, and they're trying to decide if they were going to stay here or go back home. texted, checked in with Bruce Cassidy just to see. I mean, I know, you know, his kid plays in the same hockey program that my son does. So just text in to see how they're doing. But not like I've checked in. I talked to Nola Chari the other day because I was doing an interview with him for something else. And former Bruin, former PC star, you know. That's it, though, Beetle.
So how are they sort of holding up? I mean, what are these guys going to do with themselves now? I mean, these are guys that are used to going out and having very active workouts every day. What are
they're tight knit too?
You know, what are these guys going to do now?
Well, I mean, the guy that I specifically asked about that was when I talked with Noel, who is, by the way, you're talking about having a great year. He's having an amazing year in Florida, over 20 goals, a little different role than he had here. He says, he's also in a different scenario down there in that his wife is pregnant too. She's 6 months pregnant. So they're being ultra cautious. And he just said, look, I'm fortunate. I have a little workout area. I've got a bike and I'm doing that. I'm trying to stay sharp with regard to just walking around, you know, when we can and in the right way. But otherwise that's all, that's all they're doing. There's going to be a few guys that have full gyms at their house, you know, and I know in any sport, right? And those guys are, yes, they're at an advantage right now. I can only tell you this. I don't have a full gym, but I've got a treadmill. I got a spin bike. I've got some weights. I got like a Bosu and stuff. And I got to be honest with you. I mean, look, I'm just an average Joe. I'm looking at it, and there were a few days that I put it in. And there were other days that I looked at it, and I'm like, I can't do it right now. I'm trying to motivate. So I go for one of those walks, and, you know, that is not the same as working out. I can't imagine that a pro athlete is much different, though, than the rest of us
And they're not skating either, which has got to be the worst for some of these guys.
No, I mean, if anybody's got a simulator in their house, and I guarantee you there's one guy that does. One guy out of the 800 or so pro, NHLers. Somebody's got a simulator in there. And I guarantee you the other thing is this, too. If some players, and I'm going to generalize here, or, you know, perhaps in certain parts of Canada, if they went back remote, Beetle, they may know somebody who has a key to their local rink. And they may have worked out a way to go onto the ice, you know, at 7 a.m. on their own. But even that, you know, I mean, it's just probably a few guys. But it wouldn't surprise me if we end up hearing stories about that, you know, hopefully when we get out of this crazy crap.
Billy, I just have one question for you. Tuukka Rask said in an interview over the weekend something kind of cryptic when asked about his next deal after the next year is up, whether or not, he was going to manage his workload, and he said, well, even if I end up playing, I don't know, which kind of led some to believe he might be done after this. Do you think Tuukka's got one more season in him and then might hang it up for good?
Tuukka is a very kind of, you know, Tuukka's just kind of, whatever guy. You know that, Hardy. So that comment doesn't surprise me at all. I think that's Tuukka being real. Tuukka, meaning if I play, I think that's his way of saying, I really haven't thought past the end of this deal. I really haven't. And I would believe him on that. Now, he may, you know, he yells with bright dude too. He might be throwing that out there to have a little fun with people to start, you know, and I don't think he meant it. I think this was a month ago or so that conversation happened, by the way. I don't think it was the other day. I could be wrong. But still, it's probably Tuukka's way of having a little fun. But Hardy, don't you think, I mean, I'll ask this to all of you guys, don't you think that this event, for lack of a better term for it, that we're all going through, is going to change the perception and the what we thought was going to happen, and for ourselves and for others, significantly, meaning to the point of, you know, this event will have a major impact on, I think, many guys' decision. This might be like for Tuukka now, if he's out, let's say, the rest of the year, he comes back and next year feels great. He might be like, you know what? I missed a third of the season in the play. Like, let's go. Like, I want to keep playing.
I think you're right. Yeah. I think it's going to change attitudes about work and how much, you know, you can do at home, away from home, how much time you want to be away from your family. Other people are finding out, you know what? This isn't so bad. You know, not running around all the time, being apart from each other. So, yeah, I think there's something to that.
Yeah. Billy, appreciate the time. We'll check back in with you from time to time.
I would love that. I would look forward to it. To hear your voices is outstanding, and I'm getting sentimental, but keep doing what you're doing, fellas. All right? I miss being on all the time with you guys.
See you, Billy.
All right, Billy. Take care,
appreciate
buddy.
It. Billy Jaffe from Nesson joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.